publicly by the President of the United States, who confesses the assault of an oil ship in the Caribbean. What they want is to steal our oil, to steal it. To steal our gold, they want to steal our gas, they want to steal our water because they don't want to pay. And why don't they pay for it? Because they are thieves, they are accustomed to that. So that's why I say that we are ready to carry on and take on everything, prolonged and active resistance.
Cabello said the real reasons behind the prolonged aggression against Caracas have now been exposed. He said fighting drug trafficking is only a justification. Cabello said the reason has always been about Venezuela's natural wealth, its oil, its energy, and resources that belong solely to the Venezuelan people. He added that Caracas will appeal this seizure to all available international bodies. The condemnation follows a statement by U.S. President Donald Trump announcing the seizure of an oil tanker off Venezuela's coast.
As you probably know, we've just seized a tanker on the coast of Venezuela, large tanker, very large, largest one ever seized, actually. And other things are happening, so you'll be seeing that later, and you'll be talking about that later with some other people.
Trump said U.S. military forces conducted a large-scale operation to seize the oil tanker without offering any more details. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi posted a video of the seizure on social media claiming that the vessel had been involved in an illicit oil shipping network supporting foreign terrorist organizations. She also alleged the tanker was used to transport sanctioned oil from Venezuela. And Iran, reacting to the seizure, Iran's embassy in Caracas has expressed solidarity with Venezuela and condemned U.S. takeover of the vessel as an act of piracy. The Iranian embassy called it a violation of Venezuela's national sovereignty and a blatant breach of international laws. Trump recently threatened Venezuela with an imminent land invasion, accusing the country of aiding the flow of drugs and migrants into the United States, which Caracas denies. Well, to look deeper into the situation, we're now joined by author and commentator John Stepling, who's with us from Andorra, Norway. We also have editor of Veterans Today, Kevin Barrett, joining us from Saidia, Morocco. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Stepling. Mr. Stepling, please just give us your perspective on how events have transpired with regards to Venezuela. First, the targeting of ships off the coast of Venezuela, and now it seems to have entered into a new phase with the seizure of this oil tanker.
The U.S. can't invade Venezuela. They're not capable of an actual land invasion, some kind of amphibious invasion with boots on the ground. They can't do it. The American public has no appetite for the deaths of American military personnel either. So they're going to avoid that at all costs. The original justification for blowing up these fishing boats in the Caribbean was that they were transporting fentanyl. The boats couldn't even reach the United States. They don't have the range for that. The cartel that they accuse Maduro of being the head of doesn't exist. It's a mythical cartel. This was all, they just keep inventing new stories, the U.S. government, that is, just keep inventing new justifications, and they don't even try very hard. Now they seize an oil tanker. This is, you know, it looks very good, but there's 300 some other tankers out there delivering oil. This is meaningless. It's a little tiny drop in the bucket. It has some symbolic resonance, I guess. But the U.S. is not going to invade. They may bomb a few places, but they're terrified that Venezuela will shoot back. So this is a country that's like a rabid dog that has been cornered. And it's very dangerous in one sense because it's unpredictable. Trump is trying to find things to do that will distract from Ukraine, Gaza, and Jeffrey Epstein, and not necessarily in that order. So, this is piracy. Is it illegal? Of course it is. Blowing up the fishing boats was illegal, too. But the U.S. doesn't care. They're flailing about, as I say, and they're like a cornered dog that is snarling and yapping, but isn't going to ultimately do much damage, I don't think.
Kevin Barrett, I'd like you to weigh in on the situation as well. Venezuelan officials have said that whatever the U.S. is doing, it's just along the lines of a justification, specifically alluding to the attacks on the fishing boats. Venezuelans, high-ranking officials say that it's always been about Venezuela's natural wealth, its oil, its energy, and its resources. How would you explain what the U.S. Is doing with regards to Venezuela, specifically this massive military buildup in the Caribbean?
Well, I recently wrote an article that's posted at the UNZ Review, UNZ.com, pointing out that we're living through a kind of a deja vu flashback to George W. Bush's buildup to war with Iraq, in that in both cases we have preposterously false justifications for these attacks on oil-rich nations. In the case of Bush Jr., they made up stories of Iraq having weapons of mass destruction that clearly didn't exist. And Trump's people are making up even more ridiculous stories about a different kind of chemical weapon, fentanyl. But it's widely known and admitted by everyone, including the U.S. government, that virtually all fentanyl consumed in the United States is manufactured in Mexico. Mexico, of course, is directly south of the United States. Venezuela is down in South America and has nothing to do with fentanyl. The fishing boats that Trump has been blowing up and murdering people, and Hegseth has been ordering to double tap and kill survivors, these are extremely grotesque war crimes. These fishing boats have nothing to do with any fentanyl. So that whole excuse is preposterous, just like the Iraq war excuses were. And Trump is, of course, beating his chest like a baboon, like Bush did in 2003, and defaming the leader of the sovereign oil-rich nation that he wants to attack. Back then, Bush was calling Saddam Hussein an evil dictator, and that's the sort of rhetoric that we're now hearing from Trump about Maduro. But what is this really all about? Well, it is largely about the fact that it's an oil-rich country, and the United States right now is smarting under the sting of being slapped in Ukraine, being unable to leverage any power with China, and it's in a position to lose a war with China over Taiwan. So what else can they do? Well, they can go try to attack a smaller country in the American hemisphere. But again, I agree with the other guests. I don't think that's going to work. But I think the hidden factor here that isn't being mentioned in the mainstream media is that it's really not about oil in the sense that the United States can buy Venezuelan oil. Maduro, as he just said, will happily sell the United States Venezuelan oil at a perfectly reasonable price. Why won't the United States take yes for an offer? Just, it was the same situation with Saddam Hussein in 2003. The reason is that the United States is owned by Jewish Zionist gangsters who completely dominate the media and the financial sector. And those Jewish Zionist gangsters are not even loyal to the United States of America or its empire. They are loyal to the genocidal entity squatting in Palestine. And that's why Saddam Hussein was taken out, not because he had oil that he wouldn't sell. He wanted to sell his oil to the United States. They took him out because he was building up a military that had as its ultimate intention the liberation of Palestine.
All right. Thanks a lot, gentlemen. That's all the time we have for this segment of the show. Author and commentator John Stepling joining us from Andorra, Norway. And also thanks to editor Veterans Today, Kevin Barrett, speaking to us from Saidia, Morocco. Moving on, Colombians have held a rally in the capital, Bogota, over U.S. threats against Venezuela and attacks on vessels in the Caribbean.
I believe that Washington's aggression will not stop, which means that tensions will continue. We, as Colombians, must defend our territory, call for national unity, support our government and the Venezuelan government, and seek joint action not only to defend peace, but also to defend our territory from aggression and from the systematic murder that Washington has begun against fishermen in the region.
We reject the U.S. threats of armed invasion of Venezuela and Colombia. These acts of war, the way Trump is acting extrajudicially, killing people in the Caribbean and the Pacific, violates human rights.
The rally was held outside the U.S. Embassy in Colombia's capital. Protesters slammed U.S. attacks, calling them extrajudicial killings. They called on the U.N. to take action and stop U.S. violations. Protesters warned that Washington's actions may escalate tensions and turn into an all-out war. They also voiced support for the Venezuelan government. Demonstrators denounced the U.S. interference in Latin America, urging unity and peace in the face of mounting pressure. As the globe marks the International Human Rights Day, many may wonder if U.S. President Donald Trump is familiar with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights as he continues to ramp up war threats against the Venezuelan people. Rami Mazzotti reports from Washington, D.C.
In 1948, the only human rights agreement embraced by all nations was signed, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It affirms that every person is born with equal dignity and rights, and its basis was the Code of the French Revolution, also called the Napoleonic Code. Many ideas added were inspired by the decline of monarchism and the rise of socialism after World War I, and the failures of fascism and the shortcomings of liberalism shown by World War II. In most of the world, the United States isn't usually associated with defending human rights, but with violence and transgression. And protesters gathered to denounce President Donald Trump's menacing buildup for a possible war on Venezuela.
It's a very authoritarian kind of way of operating, and the world sees right through it, it seems like. But we just have so much military and financial power that there's a lot of, it's not much that our allies really are caring to do about it either.
Decades of sanctions aimed at destabilizing socialist-inspired Venezuela into right-wing civil war haven't worked, so the U.S. has assembled its largest Caribbean armada since 1962, with airstrikes possible at any moment. Polls show that almost 70% of the American public is opposed to Trump taking military action in Venezuela. A poll released in June, on the day of Washington's illegal strikes on Iran's nuclear energy program, showed that 85% of the United States didn't want to be at war with Iran. That indicates that the figure of 70% would likely rise should Trump start attacks on Venezuela's land.
In 1993, the first UN Human Rights Conference since the end of the Cold War was held in Vienna. The resulting declaration emphasized the universal rights to sovereignty and non-interference. It was not signed by the United States. Ramin Mazahiri, Washington, D.C.
The Israeli army continues to strike various areas of the Gaza Strip, violating the ceasefire agreement as the humanitarian crisis deepens for Palestinians in the territory. The regime's artillery targeted northeast of Al Buraij camp in central Gaza. Further attacks were also reported in eastern Gaza City, with shelling behind the yellow line. Israeli strikes also hit the eastern parts of Al Zaytun neighborhood. Meanwhile, Storm Byron has hit the occupied territories, causing heavy rainfall and flooding across the Gaza Strip. UNRWA says streets in Gaza are flooded and tents are soaked, making dire living conditions even worse for the enclave's forcibly displaced population. An 8-month-old infant tragically died in Khan Yunis due to the severe cold. UN Special Rapporteur Francesca Albanese says Palestinians have been left to freeze and starve in Gaza. The Israeli military has refused to allow the entry of many tents and mobile homes to Gaza despite the harsh weather conditions. But the U.S. House of Representatives has advanced a military spending bill for the next fiscal year that includes provisions for supporting Israel and Ukraine. Both Democrats and Republicans voted overwhelmingly to approve the measure. The bill prioritizes U.S.-Israeli military cooperation. It also authorizes $500 million in fiscal year 2026 for U.S.-Israeli missile cooperation. This includes funds for Israeli procurement of Iron Dome, David Sling, and Arrow, and for bilateral research. It also authorizes more aid to Ukraine. The bill now heads to the Senate for approval before being signed by President Donald Trump. And renewed clashes between Thailand and Cambodia have entered a fourth day, with each side accusing the other of reigniting the conflict. Cambodia's defense ministry said Thai forces launched multiple attacks on border regions in the early hours of the morning, deploying tanks and artillery to strike targets. It said Thailand violated humanitarian law by firing on civilians, calling on Bangkok to stop hostile activities, withdraw troops, and avoid further aggression. By Wednesday, the death toll on the Cambodian side stood at 10 civilians, with 60 others injured. Meanwhile, Thailand said 8 of its soldiers have lost their lives since fighting resumed. More than 500,000 civilians from both countries have fled border areas due to the violence. The conflict, now spreading across 5 provinces, marks the most serious escalation since a July ceasefire that ended 5 days of fighting. And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salamun alaikum, and thank you for listening to this episode of today's special. This episode is really special because today is the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. And of course, in Iran, it's named as Women's Day. Of course, today we have another special occasion too. Today is the birthday anniversary of the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini. May Allah keep his soul in peace. So thousands of congratulations on this special day to all of you. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, flower of Ali. Ya Hawra, Ya Hawra, delight of Nabi. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, flower of Ali. Ya Hawra, Ya Hawra, delight of Nabi. I wish to extend my congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world on birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. The one and only daughter of Taha wa Yasin, the best of daughters given to Ummul Mu'mineen. We ask you to intercede for us on Qiyamah, so that with you we may also enter Jannah. Today is Thursday, 20th of Jamadi Uthani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar History Calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Azar, 1404 of the Solar Calendar, and the 11th of December, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. Again, Happy Eid. Today is the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Lady Fatima is the daughter of Prophet Muhammad. It is known among both Shiites and Sunni Muslims that Prophet had many times said Fatima is above all women of the world, from the first to the last ones. In Arabic, the word Fatima means separated. She is named Fatima because her followers are separated from the hellfire because of her character. Zahra means shining or bright and brilliant. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, when our mother Fatima Zahra prayed, she shined for the heavens as the stars shine for people on earth. Most of the Shiites and some of the Sunni commentators, such as Fakhr Razi, believe that the first verse of chapter Al-Kawthar of the Holy Quran refers to Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. Lady Fatima owned elegant dignities and virtues. There are many lessons left to learn from her. One of the sayings of her is, if someone sends his pure prayer up to Allah, Allah will send down best welfare to him. Among Iranians, her birth anniversary is designated as Mother's Day to uphold the place and character of women on the greatest of women's birth anniversary. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to every woman all around the world on the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima, the daughter of the last messenger of Allah.
To Imam al-Baqir in Medina. He's one of the Shias of the Imam. He says, Ya ibn Rasulullah, hadithni bi hadithin fi fadli jaddatika Fatima. O grandson of the Prophet, tell us a hadith about the greatness of your grandmother Fatima. Something about her merits and her virtue. Idha ana haddathtu bihi shi'ata farihu bidhalik. Tell me something about the virtue and the merit of your grandmother, that if I share it with other Shias, it will make them happy. Listen to this hadith. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he mentions many things about Fatima, and then he says about Fatima, فَإِذَا صَارَتْ عِنْدَ بَابِ الْجَنَّةِ. Imam al-Baqir, he says, on the day of judgment, when Fatima to Zahra is escorted to paradise, she will stand at the gate of Jannah, at the gate of paradise. تَلْتَفِتُ. She will stop. She's being escorted to go into Jannah. She will stop and she will look behind her. She will look back. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ. Allah will say to her, يَا بِنْتَ حَبِيبِي. Oh, the daughter of my beloved. Meaning the daughter of the Prophet. Rasulullah is Habibu. Oh, the daughter of my beloved. مَلْتِفَاتُكِ وَقَدْ أَمَرْتُ بِكِ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Why did you look back? Why did you stop when I have admitted you into my paradise? فتقول يا ربي أحببت أن يعرف قدري في مثل هذا. Oh Allah, I wanted people to know my right and my position on this day. She only lived for 18 years in this life. Many people never even heard of her, don't know who she is. Many of the Muslims today, you'll barely hear her name mentioned in the masjid if you go every day out of the year. But Yawm al-Qiyamah is the day where everyone is going to know about who Fatima is. She says, I wanted my worth, my rights, my position to be known on this day. Allah will say to her, فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ ارجعي فانظري من كان في قلبه حب لك او لاحد من ذريتك خذي بيده فادخليه الجنه. Go back among the people and find anyone who loves you or loves any of your progeny and take them with you into Jannah. Imam al-Baqir, he says, فَوَاللَّهِ, I swear by God, إِنَّهَا ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ لَتَلْتَقِطُ شِعَتَهَا وَمُحِبِّيهَا كَمَا يَلْتَقِطُ الطَّيْرُ الْحَبَّ الْجَيِّدِ مِنَ الْحَبِّ الرَّدِيِّ. Imam al-Baqir, he says, I swear by God, she will go back among these trillions of people and she will handpick the lovers, her lovers, and the lovers of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. And she will pick them out in the same way a bird picks out the good seeds from the bad seeds.
أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Celebrate.
Father and Daughter is the title of this part. Prophet Muhammad and his daughter had an extremely powerful relationship. Even Aisha, the Prophet's wife, has spoken about the strong relationship between Muhammad and Fatima. She said, Never have I seen anyone like the Messenger of Allah in his solemn way of standing and sitting more than Fatima. May Allah grant her more honors. When she came to see him, he would rise to his feet, take her hand, kiss her, and seat her where he was seated. And when he came in to see her, she would stand up, kiss his feet, kiss him, and seat him where she was seated. Aisha has also said, Never have I seen anyone resembling the Prophet of Allah in his way of speaking and talking better than Fatima. When people threw stones at the Prophet of Allah, it was Fatima that came and cleaned the way and helped him. And as much as Fatima loved the Prophet, he loved her back. Dear brothers and sisters, accept our congratulations on the happy birthday of Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, leader of the women of paradise, the only daughter of the Holy Prophet of Islam, the mother of the leaders of youth of paradise, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace be upon them all. National Women's Day and Mother's Day celebrated on this day, which marks the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima. A large number of believers take the occasion of this holiday to honor their mothers, grandmothers, wives, and sisters, and pay tribute to them by giving them gifts. It's notable that Imam Khomeini attached significance to the birth anniversary of the daughter of Islam by announcing the day as Women's Day. Imam recommended the women to follow footsteps of Hazrat Zahra, Lady Fatima, in order to obtain spiritual prosperity in this world and the salvation for the hereafter. Lady Fatima extended her great assistance to her father in promoting the divine religion in early days of Islam. Several narrations by the Holy Prophet himself are an evidence for great spiritual position of Lady Fatima and her proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Fatima al-Zahra once asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, when she was married to Ali ibn Abi Talib, she says, Ya Rasulullah, what is the role of the wife and what is the role of the husband? Rasulullah, he says, the role of the wife is the task within the house, and the role of the man are the tasks outside of the house. Now, many feminists at this moment, they would probably be giving me very dirty looks. But we have to keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that Rasulullah is not saying that a woman shouldn't work or a woman cannot leave the house. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi is saying that if you want to achieve the best stability, this is the best way to achieve it. What does Fatima al-Zahra reply? Does she say, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a woman, I want to go out, I want to work, I want to do this and that? The answer that she gives is what a true believer responds when Rasulullah gives a statement. She says, فَلَا يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ مَا دَخَلَنِي مَنَ السُّرُورِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. No one knows the pleasure I experienced when I heard this statement except Allah. Full submission, even if you don't like it. Allah summarizes the spirit of iman in one verse. Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبُّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. Allah says, true believers are the ones who, whenever there is a dispute, major or minor, they refer to Rasulullah. When the Prophet gives a verdict, they submit wholeheartedly without any, even the slightest aversion in their hearts. Full submission. This was Fatima al-Zahra. Fatima al-Zahra reports that one day I was performing domestic chores. She says, قَدْ مَجَلَتْ يَدَايَ مِنَ الرِّحَةِ. My hands were full of blisters because of the household chores. What was Ali ibn Abi Talib doing? وَأَبُو الْحَسَنْ يَحْمِلُ الْحَسَنَ وَالْحُسَيْنِ. The Imam alayhi salam, when Fatima al-Zahra was taking care of the domestic chores, was he just sitting and watching? There was cooperation and mutual respect and love. He was performing the child care. He was caring for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. This is a healthy marriage, brothers and sisters. One day, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, he comes to the house, he returns home, and he asks Fatima al-Zahra, Oh Fatima, is there any food? She says,
Ya Abu al-Hassan, there is not a morsel of food in the house. He tells her, Ya Binta Rasulullah, why didn't you tell me that the house was empty of food, that we don't have food? She says, I didn't want to place a burden on your shoulders. I would always give you my share of the food and I remained hungry. I just drank water. Her demands were very minimal.
Dear brother and sister, today is Eid. We congratulate to all of you and happy Eid. Fi amanillah.
We're here on this special day. Our hearts are full of pleasure. A day that brings the two of you close together. We're gathered here to celebrate a moment you'll always treasure. We ask Allah to make your love last forever. Let's raise our hands and make dua like the Prophet taught us. And with one voice, let's all say, say, say.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome to a new episode of Muslim Lady. Well, today's episode is all a celebration on the auspicious occasion of the blissful birthday of the world's most outstanding lady, Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha.
Fatima Mulati Fatima, Fatima Mulati Fatima, Fatima Mulati Fatima, Fatima Mulati Fatima, Fatima Mulati Fatima.
On this very happy occasion of the birthday of Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha, I welcome you to a new episode of Muslim Lady. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Zainab.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I also extend my congratulations to you on this very auspicious occasion of birthday of Lady Zahra Salamu Alayha, which is also the
Women's Day.
Yes.
Women's and it's Eid, of course. Day.
Yes, of course.
It's
for all women.
To all women out there, to all the Muslim ladies especially. And if we want to be the followers of this great lady, of this great outstanding lady, then we have to follow her lifestyle. As we have been doing that for weeks, we are focusing on the way she lived, on the narrations that actually has been passed to us through different books and different scholars. Now we know more about her, so if we want to achieve salvation according to her, if we want to be among her followers, we have to be more careful about how we act, and we have to know her more and more in order to get closer to how she was. So, since we want to know more about her, Sister Zainab is here to tell us about the sources that are going to make it more clear for us to get closer to know her.
As you rightly mentioned that we gotta know her more and more. The more we know her and the more we get closer to her, the more we can follow her. So there are many sources you can get to know about Lady Zahra Salam Alayha, but I would refer to a very few in this episode. The first source is obviously the Holy Book of Quran. We already mentioned that she is introduced in Surah Kawthar, and then there are many other surahs where she is mentioned. Like there's this verse of Tathir, or also called this verse of purification. It's the verse 33 of Surah Ahzab, which reads, "Indeed, Allah desires to repel all impurity from only you, Ahlul Bayt, and purify you with thorough purification." It talks about the purification of Ahlul Bayt, and the Shia school of thought also uses this verse as a source to defend the infallibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces Ahlul Bayt in this verse and talks about their purification. Now, is there any verse that talks about how Fatima Zahra salam alayha is Ahlul Bayt? Yes, there is also the verse of Mubahila, which is from the verse 61 of chapter 3. And there was this encounter of Prophet, peace be upon him, with the Christians of Najran, and then they called the elders, and Prophet also called his Ahlul Bayt, making it clear who were Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah, thank you, sister. So, dear listeners, thank you for being with us. Let's go for a short break, and we'll be back in no time.
In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful, indeed we have given you abundance.
Welcome back. You're listening to Muslim Lady. Well, dear Muslim ladies, we're talking about Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha, and Sister Zainab was telling us about the purification verse in the Holy Book of Quran. And let's listen to more.
The verse of purification, which is also called as Ayat Tathir, or which is the verse 33 of Surah Ahzab, introduces Ahlul Bayt as pure. And then there's this verse number 61 of chapter 3, which introduces who are Ahlul Bayt. Like Allah, Prophet introduces, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces Imam Ali as Anfusana, the soul of Prophet. And he introduces Hasnan, the Imam Hasan and Imam Hussein al-Islam, as Abna, the sons of Prophet. And Lady Zahra salam alayha as Nisa'ana, the women. There were many more people in the household of Prophet, Uncle Abbas, their sons, and so many other people, but he brought these chosen people and he called them as Ahlul Bayt. And you know, there was a verse coming in, the verse of verse 61 of chapter 3, introducing them, who they are. So it's very clear who are Ahlul Bayt. Then there's a verse about their infallibility. And also, there's one more verse which talks about her character, the way she behaved. Like there's a saying that she once was, her sons were very ill, and then she keeps fast. And then at the time of when she prepares iftar, some of the breads, then some of the three times the door gets, you know, struck, and there are people asking for food. And she gives away all three times. And then she breaks her fast with a glass of water. And then also a verse of Surah Hal Ata or Surah Insan gets revealed, which says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. They are those who fulfill their vows and fear a day of sweeping horror and give food despite their desire for it to the poor, to the orphan, and to the captive. talking about Quran, it talks all about her qualities. Talking about Prophet Muhammad is another source. His words are another source we can refer to her, who used to, you know, kiss her hand, stand for her mm-hmm. in her honor, respect her. And, you know, in the days of ignorance, when everywhere was so, so ignorant, he would stand up in her honor and he would kiss her hands. And he would often, quite often, tell her that may your dad get sacrificed for you.
Yeah, teaching other men of his time, how is it to respect a woman?
Exactly. And on this, we would have no Women's Day if Prophet never did that.
Exactly. So yeah. We have kind he has been to his daughter.
Exactly. So if we are receiving gifts today, if we're getting honored today, it's all because of his respect he showed towards his daughter.
Yeah.
And then also, obviously, Imam Ali al-Islam, how he used to refer to her. She also called him as Ya Sayyidina. He also referred to her as Ya Sayyidina, which means my leader.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see, even today, men have that kind of, you know, ego. They can't call
exactly,
their wives as leader.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Imam Ali al-Islam calls her as Ya Sayyidina. You know, you are my leader.
So this is the beauty of our religion, actually, that even our Prophet is such a respectful man toward women. Even his daughter, his wives, and all the women around him.
Yes.
So all these things have been passed down to us through the narrations. There's also another narration that says, Fatima is a part of me and the light of my eyes and the fruit of my heart, my soul. And this makes it pretty much clear.
You made it all like, you did it all like. How, from Prophet's words, we can know about her.
Yeah.
What were his thoughts about her? Because in many places he also says that those who make her happy make Allah happy. Those who make her angry make Allah angry.
Yeah.
So this again shows the status of this pious lady.
And once more, I have to congratulate all of you, all the Muslim ladies out there in this happy occasion. Let's go for a short break and we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear ladies. You're listening to your program in today's episode, which is a happy episode because we're talking about this auspicious occasion, which is the birth anniversary of Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha. And Sister Zainab is actually helping us with that.
Yes, sister. So we were talking about the sources we can refer to know more about the lady. So we talked about Quran. We said some of the verses like Surah Kawthar is there, Ayah Mubahilah is there, the verse of Mubahilah, the verse of Tathir or the verse of purification, or also the verse of Surah Insan, which we can refer to know more about the lady. Then we said words of the Prophet, and you put it all in one of the hadiths that he calls her, that you are a part of me, you are a fruit of my soul, you are the one who makes you happy, makes Allah happy, the one who angers you, makes Allah angry. There are other imams as well, like Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says, he writes in a letter to Muawiyah that there are certain things that are a matter of pride for me to, that Fatima is among us. And also Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says the same thing, that it's a matter of pride for us that Fatima salam alayhi is from us. Imam Baqir alayhi salam calls her Siddiqat al-Kubra because, in Quran, Lady Maryam, who has a very, very high status, is called as Siddiqa, but Imam Baqir al-Islam calls Lady Fatima Zahra Siddiqatun Kubra. In the same way, like all imams have said something about her, and also the imam of our time, Imam Zama Jalla Ta'ala Farajah, says that she is my role model, which clarifies
everything.
Yes, like she can't be a role model for only Muslim ladies, but also the Muslim men. Out there, she's role model for oral, because she practiced patience in her life and so many other things. And patience or these other attributes are not something that only women have to practice in their life. Even males can learn a hell lot of things from her life.
Yeah. So, sister, even Allah himself is giving so much of importance to this one lady. Among all these men, he is making this woman so much of importance. And this is so much of messages to give everyone.
Apart from like Quran, apart from Prophet, the words of Prophet, peace be upon him, apart from Imams, these are the three sources, three major sources. Apart from them, there are writers They are Muslim writers, they are Shia writers, they are non-Shia writers, they are Sunni writers. They have so many books about ladies, and even there are non-Muslim writers.
Yeah, exactly.
One of them is like Sulaiman Qattani, who has written a book about Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her, tendon in Shilf. And there are so many other, it's not just one non-Muslim scholar. There are so many scholars who have researched upon her life and written big books about her. So her life is not only a symbol and a role model for Muslims, but also for non-Muslims. And her life in itself is a lesson. She, as a daughter, was daughter with all her existence. She wept for her father. She acted as a nurse for her father when he would come from the wars. She condoled her father. She was daughter in all senses. She took care of her father in a sense that she got a title, Umme Abiha,
yeah,
the mother of the father. She was a wife, a loving wife, a caring wife, expressed love. She never compared her husband. She respected him a lot. She was a mother in all senses. She would play with her kids. She would sing for them. She would recite poems for them, and she would upbring them, and she would definitely take care of their spirituality. And talking about her importance, talking about her attributes, Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, which is also his birthday today with her, and see the coincidence. With the blessing of her birthday, with the blessing of coming on the same day, he became the leader of the revolution of Islamic Republic of Iran. He also says that, I am amazed about her virtues. The most one that struck me or makes me ponder is the one that Jibreel, after Prophet Muhammad, when the revolution was cut, everything was over, in those 75 days when she is alive, he comes continuously to her and gives her condolences, gives her messages from Prophet, peace be upon him. So yeah, there are a lot of things we could know more about the lady.
Of course, she's the mother of all the women. She's the queen of all the ladies of heaven. So there's a lot to her to talk about. If a Muslim lady wants to know more about her, everything is available for her, and she could go for search and search and know more about her and apply it in her life. And that's all. So once more, sister, and all the listeners, I congratulate all of you in this happy occasion. May it be all blessings for you. Until another session, I bid you farewell. May Allah protect you and shower you with His blessings. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. You may cut off my breath, but never my faith, no never my faith, it's my voice. You may tame both my hands, but never my soul, no, never my soul, it's my voice. You may cut off my breath, but never my faith, no, never my faith, it's my voice. You may tame my voice. Oh, oh, oh.
But never my soul, no, never my soul, it's my voice.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
The following is part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with school and university students. The meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi Husayniyah on November 3, 2025, on the eve of Student Day and the National Day of Fighting Global Arrogance.
The U.S. sometimes, but not always, says that it's willing to cooperate with Iran. Cooperation with Iran isn't compatible with cooperating and helping the accursed Zionist regime. The accursed Zionist regime, with this situation that it has created and the entire world has witnessed, understood, and condemned, is being... The accursed Zionist regime, with this situation that it has created and the entire world has witnessed, understood, and condemned, is being assisted by the U.S. The U.S. is backing it. They're supporting it. Given this situation, cooperation with Iran is meaningless and unacceptable. Yes, if they were to completely stop supporting the Zionist regime, remove their military bases from this area, and stop interfering in the region, these matters could potentially be reviewed. This isn't something foreseeable for now, nor for the near future. What I wish to tell you, dear young people, is the following. First, you must increase your knowledge, familiarity, and awareness of the country's fundamental political issues pertaining to the past, present, and the future. You must truly analyze these circles of knowledge that I mentioned, and analyze our country's past and the events that have taken place. Where have we suffered losses? Where have we achieved gains? Where have we shown weakness? Where have we exhibited strength? And what have the consequences of each of these experiences been?
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
In addition, scientific advancements must continue in the country. A few years ago, our momentum in making scientific advancements was very good, but it has slowed down somewhat. I want to tell the officials of our universities, our research